when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
The smile of the day, chime of the week, grace of the month, and the looks of the year. Oh, girl of the moment, you're my moment, every moment of the time. Girl of the moment, with the light in your eyes, the sun in your hair, rose in your cheeks, and the laugh in your voice. Girl of the moment, in a moment, you could make my life sublime. In all my flights of fancy, your image I choose. I look at you and can see that fancy come true. Girl of the moment, with the smile of the day, chime of the week, grace of the month, and the looks of the year. Oh, girl of the moment, you're my moment every time. And the looks of the year. Oh, girl of the moment, you're my moment every moment of the time. In your voice, oh girl of the moment, in a moment you could make my life sublime. In all my flights of fancy, your image I drew. I look at you and can see that fancy come moment, with the smile of the day, chime of the week, grace of the month, and the looks of the year. Oh, girl of the moment, you're my moment every time. Moment every time. Moment every time.
And the girl of this particular moment is the once-in-a-lifetime musical Lady in the Dark. Hello. This is Larry Maslin, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting. Today, emanating out of that grand boulevard known as Broadway. That was the jazz styling of Jackie Paris, but we're going to devote an entire hour to this landmark musical, and we are joined by none other than certainly the hardest working music man on Broadway, and that is Ted Sperling, who is also artistic director and director and conductor. My goodness, done everything but paint the scenery for this upcoming concert of Lady in the Dark at City Center from April 25th to April 27th. Welcome, Ted.
Thank you, Larry.
I think you need a second cup of coffee. You're doing just about everything.
Yeah.
Ted, I'm sure, is familiar to our listeners for working on over a dozen Broadway shows, both offstage and on, if you remember Titanic, and as the music director supreme for those fantastic revivals at Lincoln Center Theater, The King and I, and South Pacific, My Fair Lady currently, and of course, The Great Light in the Piazza. So Ted, you have taken on this monument, Lady in the Dark, and it is a show that is well regarded by many, known by some, and seen by few. And it's not your first time at bat with Lady in the Dark. What is it about this project that excites you so much?
It's a one-of-a-kind show, as you mentioned. It was written during an experimental time in the musical theater when people were starting to get restless and feel like the old forms weren't really cutting it anymore. But no one had a clear path forward, so people like Kurt Weill and Moss Hart and Ira Gershwin were experimenting. And this show is unique in that all the music is concentrated into these long, elaborate, surreal dream sequences, and then the rest of it is a play. So it's very specific to the subject matter. It's not a path forward for how to write every new musical, but it's always been really fascinating to me.
And its framework is also quite original as well. It was the first musical, and I would say one of the third or fourth even Broadway show of any kind, play or otherwise, to deal with psychoanalysis.
Right.
And we start in the offices of Liza Elliott, who was what, the Anna Wintour plus Tina Brown of her time, yep, at Allure magazine. Why don't you set up how our show begins?
It actually begins in the psychiatrist's office. And one of the shocking things about the show at the time, and I hope maybe still today, is that there's no overture and there's no opening song. The show started with a scene. So the curtain rises, and in our version, you'll see our lead, Victoria Clark, in the dark, just a little light on her face. And then you'll hear the psychiatrist welcome her and say, "I'm listening," which is the original title of the show.
Right.
And Liza explains to Dr. Brooks, who will be played by Amy Irving in our production,
wow,
that she is no longer the person she recognizes as herself, that she was always a very controlled, very businesslike person, and suddenly, for no apparent reason, she's losing control. She's had fits of temperament at the workplace, and she's having horrible dreams that will end as nightmares, and she needs help.
Well, here is the pre-original cast recording. This was a sort of miasma of time where the original cast recording wasn't quite what we know it today. But Gertrude Lawrence and members of the cast went into the Decca recording studios and recorded a kind of, mini medley of the opening numbers. So here from the original cast of Lady in the Dark is the Glamour Music Medley.
What Guinevere was to Lancelot, what Brunhilde was to Siegfried, what Pocahontas was to Captain Smith, what Martha was to Washington, what Butterfly was to Pinkerton, what Calamity Jane was to Buffalo Bill, what Carmen was to Don Jose. Are you
Huxley wants to dedicate his book to me, and Stravinsky his latest sonata. Sevenfold of students, they did look to me to be at the Yale-Harvard regatta.
Oh, how lovely to be you!
How splendid!
What a homie!
Using these artistic ultimata. Dupont wants me wearing a new house for him. Oh, how thrilling to be the world's inamorata. Oh, how thrilling to be the world's inamorata.
Dream sequence, you would say, is a sort of mini opera in which it explores all sorts of aspects of Liza Elliott's tortured psychology in only the way that a big old Broadway musical of the early 1940s could do. So talk to us a little bit about the One Life to Live sequence.
Well, these dream sequences, I think, were prepared for by the Gershwin musicals of The Ice Thing and Let Him Eat Cake, in that they took what had been a standard way of ending an act in an operetta, say by Gilbert and Sullivan, where you string together lots of different songs with connecting material. So there are discrete songs within these dreams, and One Life to Live is one of those. I love it because it's a very clever lyric by Ira Gershwin, and this was the first show that he took on Broadway after the death of his brother George. And Liza, I think, is expressing through her dream self the idea that if she doesn't change her life right now, she will have missed the boat, that you only have one chance in life, and that she has been denying herself pleasure and fulfillment for so long. And that's why eventually she and the psychiatrist decide that she's cracking, that the pressure of this need inside her is finally breaking through the shell that she's created.
Do you think that Ira might have had a slightly poignant insight into having one life to live in the fact that his brother only died a handful of years earlier?
And his brother died so tragically and so young. Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of what Ira wrote right around then expresses that great sorrow. And this is him coming out of that and saying, maybe I only have one life to live and I shouldn't let this horrible loss shadow me for the rest of my life.
Well, well said. Here is Uta Lemper, a great interpreter of Kurt Weill, singing that sequence from Lady in the Dark.
There are many minds in circulation, believing in reincarnation. And you see one who doesn't agree, challenging possible affronts. I believe I'll only live once, and I want to make the most of it. If there's a party, I want to be the host of it. If there's a haunted house, I want to be the ghost of it. If I'm in town, I want to be the toast. I say to me every morning, you've only one life to live. So I be nodding, let's let the sun in, and Bloom can jump in the rear. No use to beat on the doldrum, let's be a matter and a team. Each day is numbered, no limits number, with only one life to live. Why let the goblins upset you? One smile and see how they run. And what does worrying net you? Nothing, nothing, it's to have fun. Oh, this may sound kind of heavy, but it's the best I can give. Soon comes December, so please remember, you've only one life to live. Just one life to live. What you collect at the grindstone becomes a millstone in time. This is my thesis, why go to pieces? Step out while you're in your prime. You may say I'm an escapist, but I would rather by far be that than be a red tapist. Lead me, speed me, straight to the bar. Just laugh at old man repression and sentiment you will live. Then you're the winner, I'm off to dinner. I've only one life to live. Just one life to live.
I bring a message for Miss Liza Elliott.
From
the the President of the United States.
And?
The President requests...
Yes.
...that for the national unity...
Yes.
...for the furtherance of goodwill...
Yes.
...for the advancement of cultural and artistic achievement...
Yes.
...your portrait be painted and your likeness used on the new 2-cent stamp.
How really lovely.
Oh, how thrilled she ought to be.
To paint me, and where?
I am to paint you, and here.
Girl of the moment, with the smile of the day, and the charm of the week, and the grace of the month, and the looks of the year. Oh, girl of the moment, you're my moment of every time.
The portrait is finished.
It looks like Liza.
But is it Liza?
The looks of Liza.
The size of Liza.
But if it's Liza, why is Liza so Liza-like?
I painted Liza, it must be Liza. The looks of Liza, the size of Liza.
If she is Liza, and she is Liza. What is Liza really like? What is Liza really like? What is Liza really like? What is Liza really like?
Was Girl of the Moment, another great song from Lady in the Dark that back in the day had some purchase as a standalone tune. That was Reza Stevens from the concert album back in 1962, I think. It was the first full recording of Lady in the Dark. And I'm joined today by Ted Sperling, whose master voices is just this incredibly voluminous, artistic, musical, not even a buffet, it's a 5-course meal. And from April 25th to April 27th at City Center, they're presenting Lady in the Dark in a, would you say, a staged concert? Well, how do you want to interpret that?
It's funny because we usually say it's semi-staged. And as we've been working on this, I want to say highly staged.
Adding stuff all the time version.
Well, we're working with this wonderful choreographer and dance company, Doug Verone and Dancers. Because our chorus is really expert at singing, but not so expert at dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've sort of separated the roles, as they often did in that time. In the 40s, you had a singing chorus
right.
and a dancing chorus.
And how many human beings are you going to have on the stage at any one time?
Well, we have 120 choristers.
Wow.
We have 10 dancers. We have 8 principals.
And among those principals are the fantastic Victoria Clark playing Liza Elliott and our good pal at Broadway to Main Street, David Pitou, in the what's known, I think, forever as the Danny Kaye role.
That's right. It's the role that made Danny Kaye a star.
Wow. So we have the Mapleton High segment of the show. Do you want to set that up?
This
for
is
us
now
a
this.
Bit?
We've moved on to the second dream, which is known as the wedding dream, but it actually has many different components. And it starts with Liza's high school classmates remembering her and all the things that she was good at and that maybe they didn't like about her. And in our version, we're staging it essentially at her funeral so that people are coming back with testaments to her.
Wow. Here is from the Royal National Theatre production. Did you see that one?
I missed it, sadly.
With Maria Friedman, one of the few fully staged versions of this great classic, Lady in the Dark.
Thank you.
graduated with her.
She was cheerleader in the third year.
Mapleton High, Mapleton High, for you we will do and for you we will die. Rah, rah, rah!
I remember Liza well. We read Les Miserables in her room on rainy days and A Tale of Two Cities, too.
I liked her a lot.
I thought she was stuck up.
I remember the house she used to live in and the tree in the garden where she used to swing.
I might as well tell it now on graduation day. When Liza delivered the valedictory, I asked her if she'd wait for me. She smiled. She didn't take me seriously.
I never quite understood her. She had a pretty voice, though.
We sing the praise of Mapleton High. Each heart is filled with loyalty. And for our school we'll do or we'll die. And reach a goal of victory. Forever, Mater Mapleton High. Your bounty is on every hand. And while we live, we'll never deny. No finer school is in the land.
Parlez vous français? Ouvrez la fenêtre, s'il vous plaît.
Talking with Ted Sperling, the artistic director of Master Voices, who's mounting this astonishing production of Lady in the Dark, which you all must go and see.
Please.
Because it is one of the seminal pieces of the American musical theater. And for Kurt Weill, this was his, I want to say, his third New York show?
It was his first commercial show, which I think is interesting, because the first two were for a nonprofit theater company.
Okay, so Johnny Johnson and Knickerbocker Holiday. Right. Do you think he got into this sort of... he was such a musical chameleon that he absorbed the sound of the swing era by now with this
Absolutely.
Score, which was pretty much opens up 1941, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. It was the first show, I think, really, of the season.
Wow.
Well, Kurt Weill, when he came to America, decided to really become an American. He stopped speaking a word of German. He was very proud to become a citizen. And he felt that musical theater was at a crossroads, and there are some wonderful quotes from him saying, "It's ripe for reinvention."
I was always very moved by the fact that Weill said, I've stopped even dreaming in German. Mm. And he was creating such a new form of musical theater, just not only musically, but dramatically. So here is Julie Andrews recording one of her very, very few Kurt Weill, maybe her only Kurt Weill songs, one of my favorites. This is new from Lady in the Dark.
Thank you.
still existing. This is new, and I'm living at last. Head to toe, you've got me so I'm spellbound. I don't know if I am a heaven or hellbound. This is new. Is it Venus insisting that I'm through with the shadowy past? I am held up to a so I'm spellbound. I don't know if I am heaven or hellbound. This is new. Is it Venus insisting that I'm through with a shadowy past? I am held up to
now, that recording of This Is New by Kurt Vile, sung by Julie Andrews, precedes her big moment as the star of Lady in the Dark, Gertrude Lawrence. Do you want to talk about that confluence between Julie and Gertie?
Sure. Well, they had a lot of similarities in their background. They both came from the music hall British stage and were child stars and adept at both comedy and musicals. So it was a natural fit that she play Gertrude Lawrence in the biopic. It was, I think, the most expensive film made at the time. It was called Star, and it was the first, you know, movie that Julie Andrews made that wasn't considered a big
critical. It was such
success.
A bomb that it was re-cut, I think, 45 minutes were cut, was re-released as something called Those Were the Happy Times, which could be a title that could apply to
almost
pretty
anything.
Much 98% of anything that came out in the 1960s. The Princess of Pure Delight is one of my favorite sequences, and the music is so great, no one really knows it. Do you want to tee that one up for us?
Sure. That's another song within the dream. It's a complete song. It's inspired, I think, by Moss Hart's own experience with his psychiatrist, Lawrence Cuby, who had theories about trios. Basically, you have you're dealing with different trios of issues in one's life. And
you
that,
mean things in threes?
Yeah.
Sort of like the George Abbott touch.
So that in looking for love, you can be looking for someone to take care of you, like a father, someone to take care of, or someone who's your equal.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much the romantic plot of Lady in the Dark, of her trying to figure out which of these things is right for her. So in this song, she sings of three princes who are seeking the hand of a princess and how they have to go through a test put by her father. But the difference in this song is that actually not one of those three people win her hand. It's the jester. Who finally solves the riddle. And who is the jester in Lady in the Dark? You could say it's the Danny Kaye part.
Russell Paxton.
Which is sort of what you maybe are meant to think a little bit at the end of that song, although that really doesn't seem like a romantic alternative for her. But ultimately, it's the person who's been goading her, who's been getting under her skin, calling her boss lady, who ends up being the person she's interested in.
Interesting. It's exciting to me that you mentioned Moss Hart in terms of his phenomenal work on this book, because it was his first major solo thing he did after he amicably parted with George S. Kaufman, and it remains one of the most ambitious books in the American musical canon. We always forget, you know, how important it is to have a book writer structure something and coming up with ideas that are innovative and theatrical, and he certainly scored such a big achievement with this. In many ways, that's what makes it hard to revive at the same time.
Yes. I think we're so used to having a song coming every 4 minutes or so in a musical that anything that feels like a longer play puts a lot of pressure on the play.
Right. Well, here is Maria Friedman with The Princess of Pure Delight.
The prince in orange and the prince in blue, and the prince whose raiment was of lavender hue. They sighed and they suffered and they tossed at night for the neighboring princess of pure delight, who was secretly in love with a minstrel. Her father, the king, didn't know which to choose. There were two charming suitors he'd have to refuse. So he called for the dean of his sorcerer's and inquired which one was to win her hand, which they always did in those days. My king, here's a riddle, you put them tonight. What word of five letters is never spelled right? What word of five letters is always spelled wrong? The one who can answer will be wedded ere long. That will be 20 golden pelis. The king called the three and he told them the test. And while his fair daughter kept beating her breast, he put them the riddle. They failed as he feared. Then all of a sudden the minstrel appeared, quite out of breath. "I'll answer that riddle," cried the singer of song. "What's never spelt right in five letters is wrong, and it's right to spell wrong, W-R-O-N-G. Your Highness the Princess belongeth to me, and I love her anyway." "Be off with you, villain," the king cried in rage, "for my princess a prince, not a man from the stage." "But, sire," said the minstrel, "'tis love makes me say, no king who's a real king treats lovers this way. It isn't sporting. And if you're no real king, no princess is she. And if she's no princess, then she can wed me." "By gad," cried his highness, "you handsome young knave, I fear me all right." And his blessing he gave as a trumpeter began to trumpet. The princess then quickly came out of her swoon. She looked at her swain and her world was in tune. The castle soon rang with cheer and with laughter. And of course they lived happily ever after.
Miss Foster, where is everybody? Maggie, where are the proofs? Allison, where is your column? Johnson, where is your layout? What is the matter with you? What is the matter with everybody?
May I keep the paperweight? Maybe I can tell the little ones what Grandpa was doing during the last World War. Do you think you'll want to throw it at somebody else?
That'll be all, Johnson. We won't discuss it any further.
You kill me, boss lady.
Look here, Johnson. I don't like you. I never have. Suppose in the future you confine your remarks to your work. And if you don't think you can do that, perhaps you can make a pleasanter arrangement elsewhere. Now, will you please get out? I'm very busy.
Busy?
Yes, yes, I am busy. Can't you see that?
Why, don't you know what day this is, boss lady? This is your wedding day. Your wedding day. Your wedding day.
Maggie Allison, speak to me. What is this?
It's late, Larson. It's late. You must hurry. This is your wedding day.
A
man without a woman or a woman without a man was never part of paradise's plan. It's like a poached egg without a piece of toast, Philadelphia. Without the Saturday Evening Post, Georgie Nathan. Without a play to roast and to make a man and woman rhyme, the wedding bells must chime. It's never too late to mend a song. Ding dong, ding dong, there. Two hearts are at journey's end, O son. When the people hear that steeple bell, without the strains of Lohengrin, love is Misha or Yasha without the violin. It's never too late to mend a song. Ding dong, ding dong, there.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Here comes the bride.
Money. What
does
he see in her?
Here comes the groom.
Isn't he a donkey?
Head is fat, purse is slim. I wouldn't use him for a flunky.
Ain't she lucky to get him?
Do you take this woman to share your house?
I do, I do.
Well, of course, it's up to you. Do you take this man for your ever-loving spouse?
I do, I do.
That does it. You're through. For to make a man and woman rhyme, the wedding bells must chime. It's never too late to mend a song. Ding dong, ding dong, dell. Two hearts are at journey's end, O son. When the people hear that steeple bell, without the strains of Lohengrin, love is Misha or Yasha without the violin. It's never too late to mend a song.
This is Larry Mazlon, your host of Broadway to Main Street, and we're talking to Ted Sperling, who's the artistic director and conductor and director of this wonderfully inspiring, that's the best word I can use for it, upcoming concert, stage, semi-stage, multiple stages, you name it, concert of Lady in the Dark at City Center, April 25th through April 27th. And you can't have a Lady in the Dark without a lady. And this particular lady is somebody you have a long and incredibly robust history with. So tell us about her.
So we're talking about Victoria Clark, who was the star of The Light in the Piazza and won the Tony Award for her performance. Vicky and I do go way back. We met in college. And actually, I met her before I went to college because she was starring as Mabel in a college production of Pirates of Penzance that my cousin was in as Ruth. So I went as a high schooler to go see that and was wowed by her performance. And then I joined her in college the next fall, ran into her on the steps of the music library and introduced myself. So when we came to New York, we were determined to keep working together, and we have. We've done several Broadway shows together, and we've always wanted to do this one. We made a little pact with each other that we would only do it together. So finally, now that I'm running Master Voices and have, you know, 6 seasons under my belt, we felt, let's just do it now.
Well, there, what does Shakespeare say? The readiness is all, right? So this is the perfect time for Vicky to do the show, and obviously you're the perfect collaborator. Let's go and hear a little of Victoria Clark. We can't hear any cuts of her yet in Lady in the Dark, but this is from her album, 15 Seconds of Grace. It's an Adam Gettle song, and surprise, surprise, who's at the piano, Ted?
It's me playing.
Okay.
But a dream drifting on a stream, but I've begun to wonder, is it really like the song we just gently roll along? It's not enough, there must be more. On a distant shore, adventure and the fun until I know. Doesn't seem that life is but a dream. It seems like there's a world out there. Open up your arms to me. Open up your arms, and you
was Victoria Clark, who is starring as Liza Elliott in Lady in the Dark. There is a promotional video. You can see a little of Vicky singing from the show at Master Voices, one word, mastervoices.org. So check that out. Well, we come in Lady in the Dark, as we must, to the wonderful circus sequence. And this is something that was so theatrical. You see the photos of it, and your jaw just drops. But it also added a little bit. It took me a long time to realize that some of the music in this has entered popular culture as part of the actual anthem of the circus. Yeah?
Tell me about that, because I'm not sure.
Well, the greatest show on earth is Barnum and Bailey, and they actually adopted Kurt Weill's music as their theme song.
Really?
To the opening of
this section. I didn't
know
that.
Section. See, I found something Ted Sperling didn't know. Good
Thank
for
you.
Me. Here is a little bit of that music into one of the most famous sequences, legendary sequences in musical theater history, Tchaikovsky and Other Russians, The Star-Making Turn by Danny Kaye.
I take pride in introducing the greatest show on earth, Liza Elliott's gargantuan three-ring circus, featuring for the first time the captivating and tantalizing Liza Elliott, the woman who cannot make up her mind. Order in the courtroom. Ah, the charges against Liza Elliott. Whereas Liza Elliott cannot make up her mind about the Easter cover or the circus cover. Secondus.
Secondus.
Liza Elliott cannot make up her mind whether she is marrying Kendall Nesbitt or not. Moreover.
Moreover.
Liza Elliott cannot make up her mind as to the kind of woman she wants to be, the executive or the enchantress. And
inasmuch as
in a world where tumult and turmoil reign, these indecisions of Liza Elliott only add to the confusions of an already, as indicated, confused world. Therefore, be it resolved that Liza Elliott be brought to trial and be made to make up her mind.
Yay!
I should like to introduce that fearless witness, Kendall Nesbitt.
Yay!
Mr. Nesbitt, you are divorcing your wife so you can be free to marry the defendant. Isn't that so?
Yes, sir.
You were led to believe the defendant would marry you when, as, and if.
Yes, sir.
But now she refuses to make up her mind.
Yes, sir.
You gave her the best years of your life, and yet she refuses to be your wife.
Yes, sir.
He gave her the best years of his life. She was, shall we call it, his mistress. 'Twas only for her he's divorcing his wife, and now the man's in a distress. The mister who once was the master of a two would make of his mistress his missus. But he's missed out on a missus, for the mistress is through. What a mess of a mishmash this is. You know, I like that music. Who wrote it?
Tchaikovsky!
Tchaikovsky? I love Russian composers. There's Malachevsky, Rubinstein, Arensky, and Tchaikovsky, Sapelnikov, Dmitriev, Cherepnik, Rezhinovsky, Godovsky, Atobuchov, Moniuszko, Akimenko, Soloviev, Prokofiev, Tiomkin, Goroschenko. There's Grinkler, Winkler, Bortniansky, Rebekov, and Yinsky. There's Metter, Balakirov, Zolotarev, and Kvoshchinsky, and Sokolov, and Kopolov, Tukhelsky, and Klonovsky, and Shostakovich, Borodin, Lier, and Novikovsky. There's Liadov, and Karganov, Markeyevich, Panchenko, and Dargumisky, Chervachevsky, Ryabin, Vasilenko, Stravinsky, Rimsky, Kosakov, Kuchorsky, and Grechaninov, and Vazunov, and Cesar, Kvikalinikov, Stravinsky, and Gretchaninov, Rumshinsky, and Rachmaninov. I really ought to stop. The subject has been brought to Paninov.
Stravinsky,
Gretchaninov,
Rumshinsky,
Rachmaninov.
I better stop because we feel we all have undercut.
Danny Kaye played the part of Russell Paxton, what they, I guess, euphemistically used to call an effete photographer back in the day, but it made him a star overnight in such a way, I gather there was a little bit of tension between him and Gertrude Lawrence, who was the titular star, but it's become one of these legendary performances. How do you unpack what Danny Kaye brought to this show, you know, decades later?
Well, you know, Danny Kaye honed his craft in the Catskills, doing new musicals and new reviews every week, and he had his particular unique style. And I think that's something that we have lost a little bit, that the big Broadway stars of that era were larger-than-life personalities and unlike anybody else. So you had the Ed Wynns, for example, you know, the signature laugh.
Right.
So they were writing for his unique talent. And interestingly, Tchaikovsky was a poem that Ira had written earlier with no music. And he had this idea because Danny was so good with languages, he could speak fake languages in a way that would convince native speakers that they should be understanding what he's saying, even though they couldn't.
Well, those of us who are have a Jewish background, like myself, are always amused by the little bits of Yiddishkeit that Ira puts in. So I always laugh at mishmash. Mm-hmm. I always think that, oh, there's Ira again with his AKs who give the OKs from the sing.
Also, there's one of the Russian composers is Dukhelsky, which is Vernon Duke.
Oh, a good pal of his. Yeah. They would go on to work, or they'd already worked together in 36. Mm-hmm. And did they do anything after Lady in the Dark together? Nothing significant that I know of. Interesting. Well, we come to the big number. This is the Saga of Jenny, which was part vaudeville, part circus, part art song, you name it. And this is, as you said earlier, Julie Andrews did a great version of it on film, but it's the big number. We're going to hear the only recording that I know of, you may know differently, that Lotta Lenya did from this score.
Mm.
She does it rather, what would I say, inimitably, perhaps not the
She's
way Gertrude Lawrence did.
Person.
But do you want to set up Saga of Jenny?
Sure. Well, the circus dream starts with Liza as the star performer. It's the circus of Liza's mind. And for me, it's also the circus that's been touring a really long time, doing the same thing over and over. And after this dance of the tumblers, a moment for our dancers to shine, suddenly it turns into a trial. And Liza's taken aback. What trial? Who's on trial? And it turns out she's on trial. And she's on trial for not being able to make up her mind, because that's what's happening at work. This person who usually could just churn out issue after issue with no problem is hesitating about what the theme of the next issue should be, and it's driving everybody at the office crazy, including herself. So she's on trial for not making up her mind, and she's asked, does she have any defense? And this song is her defense. She says, listen, this is what happens when you make up your mind.
And here is Kurt Weill's great muse, Lotta Lenya, to give us a slice of his American work.
Miss Elliot, you've heard the charges against you. Have you made up your mind about any of these things?
No, I haven't.
Do you intend to?
I don't know.
Can you give this court any reasonable explanation as to why you cannot make up your mind?
Yes, I can. There once was a girl named Jenny, whose virtues were varied and many, excepting that she was inclined always to make up her mind. And Jenny points a moral with which one cannot quarrel, as you will find.
Who's Jenny? Never heard of Jenny. Jenny is out of place.
But I am sure the court'll find Jenny is immortal and has a bearing on this case. Jenny made her mind up when she was 3. She herself was going to trim the Christmas tree. Christmas Eve she lit the candles, tossed the tapers away. Little Jenny was an orphan on Christmas Day. Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find. She lost one dad and mother, a sister and a brother, but she would make up her mind. Jenny made her mind up at 22. To get herself a husband was the thing to do. She got herself all dolled up in her satins and furs, and she got herself a husband, but he wasn't hers.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
Deserved a bed of roses, but history discloses that she would make up her mind. Jenny made her mind up at 39. She would take a trip to the Argentine. She was only on vacation, but the Latins agree. Jenny was the one who started the good neighbor policy.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
Oh, passion does not vanish in Portuguese or Spanish, and she would make up her mind. Jenny made her mind up at 75. She would live to be the oldest woman alive. But gin and rum and destiny play funny tricks, and poor Jenny kicked the bucket at 76. Jenny points a moral with which you cannot quarrel, makes a lot of common sense. Jenny and her saga prove that you are gaga if you don't keep sitting on the fence.
Jenny and her story point the way to glory to all men and womankind.
Anyone with vision comes to this decision.
Don't make up, you shouldn't make up, you mustn't make up, or never make up. Anyone with vision comes to this decision. Don't.
So we come almost breathlessly to the conclusion of Lady in the Dark. Ted Sperling, who's our guest today, is putting this all together for Master Voices at City Center from April 25th to April 27th. You must go see it because you never get a chance to see this, and you will rarely, if ever, get a chance to see it done this well. You can go to nyciticenter.org, nyciticenter.org, and get tickets. And I want to turn to Ted in closing because other than Liza Elliott, I don't know anyone who works harder and more decisively and more artistically at their job than Ted does. And I wonder if you want to give us a few thoughts about Lady in the Dark to send us out into the night.
Well, one thing we haven't talked about yet is the fashion element that we're bringing in. With Master Voices, we love to collaborate with people from different worlds of culture. And there's a lot of collision going on in this piece because we have the choral concert world, we have the musical theater world, we have the dance world, and now we also have the fashion world. And the reason for that is that Liza runs the premier fashion magazine in New York. It's patterned on Vogue. And I felt like we had to include that somehow in our production. So I asked for an introduction to Anna Wintour. And I got one.
Wow.
And she agreed to meet with me.
Wow.
And at the meeting, she was very kind and gracious and generous, and she introduced me to Hamish Bowles, who's mm-hmm. her right-hand person at Vogue. He's the international editor-at-large. He has one of the world's greatest collections of couture himself, and he's a man of the theater. He knew Lady in the Dark already. So she asked Hamish if he would help matchmake for us, and my idea was that each dream should have a designer associated with it who could give us a key look, a spark for each dream. So we're very lucky that we have Zach Posen, the perfect person to design our glamour dream, and he's made a beautiful, beautiful outfit for Vicky. For the wedding dream, we have Carolina Herrera. And for the circus, it's Tom Brown, and the riot of color and shape and proportion that will be really fun to watch.
Wow. Well, if you're a fan of this great piece of musical theater by Kurt Weill and Ira Gershwin and Moss Hart, your ship has come in, so make sure you get yourself to City Center, and we will close out with the climactic revelatory song sung by the original Liza Elliott, Gertrude Lawrence. Is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing.